Good morning, are we ready to start? Welcome to MMS 2012, beautiful Las Vegas day, inside the air conditioned room. But I hope you're enjoying MMS so far, yeah? Cool. Today we are going to talk about the top 10 reasons to choose Microsoft Hyper-V. R2 serves back to. My name is Erdal Özkaya, I'm a Microsoft MVP. My title is Windows Expert in the IT Pro field. I'm an instructor. I'm teaching in FASTA in Asia Pacific. I'm teaching Microsoft courses as well as security courses, ethical hacking courses by EC Council. I can see some faces that I met in the previous conferences before. So I spoke in many conferences such as TechEd, Hacker Halted by EC Council, Microsoft Management Summit, many other conferences. Last year again, I was selected by EC Council Instructor of the Year. And this is Leo.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? My name is Leandro. You can call me Leo. I'm a Microsoft MVP. I'm also an MCT as well. And yeah, ready to go.
You do work in IBM?
Yeah, that's right. Working on the competitor as a technical specialist. And yeah, trying to change their mind to use Hyper-V, but that's another matter.
So, Leo is going to help me today with a couple of demos. I thought having two people with accent will make your job easier. You notice our accent? Look, my one is not my fault. As you can see, Turkish parents, but I was born and grew up in Germany, living in Australia. This is what's coming out, I'm sorry. It has an advantage though. This accent hopefully is going to help you to concentrate and learn better. How do you think I'm getting all these awards? Again, Leo, he's from Brazil, he lives in Australia, we worked for a while together, we do present together, and hopefully you're going to learn today cool stuff. All right, enough. Target. Business managers, decision makers, VMware professionals, as well as, hey, we got Hyper-V 3.0, we got a beautiful demo, we are sure you're going to love it, and we are going to make this demo available in our blogs. You will get this later. So I didn't edit there, but we have a beautiful Hyper-V 3.0 demo with, I'm pretty sure you're going to love it, 100%. All right, 99%. The battle. Everybody knows, hey, there is VMware. They used to lead the market. Microsoft joined the game, but everybody thinks Microsoft is leaving the game. I'm pretty sure you hit the company called Connectix. And 2003, Microsoft, or let me ask the question other ways. Do you know Ben Armstrong, the virtual PC guy? Maybe you are following him on Twitter. He's the man in Microsoft virtualization. When Microsoft bought Connectix in 2003, so in 2004, they released their first product, which was Virtual PC. I'm pretty sure some of you used it before. 2005, Virtual Server. But to be honest, all right, it's been recorded. To be honest, it wasn't the product. 2007, 2008, Hyper-V first version, it was good. But the second version, Hyper-V 2.0, caught out the market, and as you're going to see shortly in our session, it is starting to lead the market. And as it was announced today, Windows Server 2012, which is the 8, Windows Server 8, is going to have Hyper-V 3.0, which we're going to talk about shortly. So there is definitely a battle. A battle, that's my little bird. A battle which is all about you, isn't it? Everybody is trying to win your business. Yes. This gentleman's not interested, probably, no? Yes, your business as well, sir. All right, what else? But there is two big competitors when it comes to virtualization platform. And both of them say, hey, you know what, we are better. Again, we are not Microsoft. We're going to tell our experiences from an industry perspective, okay? But we cannot make assumptions that we are not talking about Bell for Microsoft. Just to make it clear, virtualization. I'm pretty sure everybody knows what virtualization is, what types of virtualization is available. This is a management summit. If not, the reception is there. Ask for a refund. This is the wrong conference. Just kidding. I think we know that we got two types of virtualization. We have guests, we got hosts. We have many virtualization tools which help us to transfer from physical to virtual, from virtual to physical. You know, I think everybody is aware of all of this. Everybody also understands that, you know what, it's not just all about the management. There is two products, and there is a battle again. This battle is about not just management. VMware is focused in the hypervisor, where Microsoft is promising us the right tools for the right job. So not just the virtualization, as well as, you know what, we got the clients, we got the desktop, we got the mobile devices, and to be honest, 7.5, especially after Nokia joined to the game, is starting more promising. They got the applications, the middlewares, databases, SQL, the OSs, the hardware virtualization. Yeah. Leo, you got anything to add here?
The idea is to think beyond the virtualization, not only the virtualization itself. Today we have the private cloud deal, and the virtualization is only the core concept. We have to think about management, monitoring, backup, and a single solution to do all of them. So that's the idea of the Microsoft products, to get all of them and to provide something to do everything in a single console, manage your private cloud, public clouds, and whatever you have.
So, as I said, I think we all know the Microsoft products. Yeah, this is the Microsoft management. We all have experiences with, from Windows 1.0, maybe from MS-DOS days. I can see, sir, yeah, you at the back, maybe MS-DOS 1.0. What, DSX, did you say? Just kidding, you know. I'm just pointing, could be anybody, just joke. So, everybody has different experiences already with Microsoft products. So it's a known platform for you. You don't have to invest for middleware. You don't have to invest for extra training. What else? Why virtualize? Can somebody answer the question? I think we all know that it has many pros and cons. But again, I'm not going to talk about this in details. I believe everybody knows that. I just put in the slides. For the people that are new, maybe for the business managers, they can always go back and do research on it. But keep in mind, the cloud. Everything is these days about the cloud. If virtualization was not available today, probably we were not going to talk about the cloud. Again, yeah, this is a Microsoft Management Summit, and if you were here last year. If you remember, we had all this cloud factor. So the cloud is booming. Is it really new? Do you think cloud is new? Hence? So as you can guess, it's not new. And as I said, I hope you all know why we need the cloud. So the virtualization. It's the future. The future which has started. When do you think it started? So I'm going to ask this question a few seconds later again. But as I said, the virtualization is the base of the cloud. We all know there is two clouds. Cloud one with Accent. The public cloud and the private cloud. What is the private cloud? You got your Hyper-V, you got your system center. It might be in your data center. It might be in your server room. You build your applications, it's all about you. What is the public cloud? You don't have to build anymore. All what you do is hire the space. You know that book reselling company? All started with them. They bought all the servers, they build infrastructure, and they looked at it, oh my God, we got too much space now. Too much power. What are we going to do with it? let's resell. Isn't it? Amazon started the real battle. Then Google joined into it as well. Again, our focus is not the cloud. There are a couple of cloud sessions which I'm going to recommend at the end of the session. There is one couple of things in common between the public and private cloud. Leo, what are they again?
Sorry, what was the question?
The public and private cloud, the in common stuff.
So basically, you have the whole system within your company. You have everything on your hand. You can do whatever you want. And if with the private, with the public cloud, you have a company taking care of that for you. Some IT guys will not like that. Maybe some jobs will just disappear. But some new jobs are coming up, new cloud administrators, and that's why we've got some new certifications on this matter as well.
It's all about, as I said, I don't believe that job is going to disappear. It's all about upskilling yourself, and at the moment you're in the right place. So we got the identity, single sign-on. We got the virtualization, management, deployment. Okay, I'm going to leave this for the other guys to talk about it, but there is one thing that everybody is going to optimize, the cloud. And Hyper-V is going to be the base if you're on a Microsoft platform. The base of the virtualization platform. Then, if you want to have the management, you're going to put System Center on top of it. And then you might have the self-service provisioning software.
Yeah. Do we have developers here? We've got one there. So how easy is for a developer to install a server? They ask us, oh, I need a server, I need to do something. And that's very boring for us, but for them...
We fight all the time, developers, IT pros.
So example of a self-service, they can open a web interface and they can just deploy a server or the whole service with a lot of servers, the database, the mid-tier, and the web server with just a couple of clicks. So that's an example of what a cloud can do for you, and you can do that in a single web interface. And the user can do that, deploy a server. How cool is that?
So for the majority of the people, developers be coming.
So we have only one developer here, is that right?
All right. Man. When is the virtualization going to be effective? I think this is an absolute question, right? Because it is it happened yesterday. So this is the time. Oh, what's this?
That's the old one.
Do you remember the clip art? Just thought it was going to be funny. You didn't like it, said, yeah?
It wasn't.
All right, that's what I want to hear, Okay, what else? Who else is in the business? Is it just Microsoft and VMware? No. If you look in the list, there are many freewares, many sharewares, or many other companies. Oops, the first one. Let's skip the slide.
Citrix is another one, very good one, but it's not there.
Citrix is not there yet. Yeah. Let's don't talk about the first one. You like your job, right? ESX. Let's talk about VMware itself. I think everybody knows. We might have some people from VMware here as well. We are not against it. Please don't get us wrong. It's just our personal thoughts. We have the standard, the advanced, the enterprise, and the enterprise plus. The cost is there. The different functionality is there. Do you got a question, Leo?
No.
All right. The micro and mono.
You
didn't ask me a question, remember? We studied that, we forgot.
Just to make sure that, just to make sure, what is the difference between VMware and Hyper-V? Do you know what is the difference between microkernelized and monolith kernel?
The monokernelized.
We have two VMMs, as you said, right?
And yes.
What is the difference between, and that's the core difference between VMware and
the
Hyper-V?
So VMware is
the
using
monolithic
the...
monolithic one?
Sorry?
Monolithic?
The monolithic one. What is this? I told you I'm doing hacking, okay? The monolithic one is basically all the drivers sitting in the
hypervisor
level, which means, what was the virus name, Leo? The
Blue Pill. Yeah.
Blue Pill. I don't know if you dealt about it. If not, please go to my blog. There is a virus which is aware of the virtualization platform. And because VMware is using that shared platform, a virus can jump through all VMs if you get infected. Of course, there it's not the topic of today's, but please go to my blog or to Bing, Google, whatever. You will find many information about it. Where Microsoft is using the
microkernelized,
which is basically installing all the drivers inside the VM. So it's an isolated environment, which means if something goes with that VM, it will stay inside the VM. What if this VM connected and it's a worm? It's a different story. Again, this is just a basic differential, which I wanted to highlight. So what Microsoft products are there? We have the Windows Server 2008 R2 Service Pack 1. Was it? I'm pretty sure you all dealt with it. We got this little Hyper-V console there. You can install it as a server role, or what you have to go to Server Manager. Click in the Add Role, select Hyper-V, select the network cards that you want to associate to Hyper-V. Then we have, it has the live migration, it has the scalability, the networking. I think everybody knows that. This is the Server 2008 R2 versions. I want to highlight one point, actually, and the virtual image rights. So if you're using standard edition, you got one free license included, enterprise, four, data center, unlimited. Again, I'm not going to talk about the details here. Then we have the Hyper-V. As I said, you can use it as a role as well. Hyper-V is getting much better with System Center Virtual Machine Manager, as this is the management panel for that.
Yep.
This is the Hyper-V server role. You can go to Microsoft website for that link, download it. The very good thing, which has been highlighted also there, the live migration and high ability, is coming included with Hyper-V server for free. What if you're not the PowerShell guy or the command guy? What's going to happen? As this is all, this is not GUI-based. So Leo, what is the solution?
So yeah, as a free version, we don't have the GUI interface, but we do have, as Erdo said, live migration for free and the high availability. But you can use the server, the Hyper-V configuration, as a sort of command line interface, but you can use buttons. You don't have to type the command line. For example, to set up the IP address, a huge command line, net has h.
Did you ever try type?
So, yeah, you can just type the numbers in there and just follow up the screen. Or you can use the GUI interface as a sort of PowerShell script, but you have a GUI and you can use some advanced stuff. You don't have to use the command line interface if you want. So the base configuration on Windows, Windows Update and the other configuration, you can just use the core config. It's a free software, and you can download for free from the CodePlex website.
Which will add the graphical interface to your Hyper-V server, which you download as the main component. Then we have System Center. When we say System Center, these days, most of the things going on the same umbrella. We got the SCCM, which is the System Center Configuration Manager. It's usually for device management. What we do is we run software inventory, deployment. Basically, you might use a MDT with System Center Configuration Manager together, and you deploy Windows 7 or hopefully soon Windows 8. Then we have the Data Protection Manager. Again, I'm pretty sure you will go to Oren Thomas' session. He got many books, highly recommended. It's all about the backup and the restore. Then we have the Operations Manager. It's about the server, the storage, your computers and the applications. It's going to keep an eye on all of this. It's going to alert you, hey, you know what? There is an issue. If you have Server 2008 reporting services included there, SQL reporting services, it will also send reports. Service Manager, which is the ticketing software, ITIL-based. You can purchase it as well. Our main focus is, of course, the System Center Virtual Machine Manager. Leo, what was it doing again?
Yeah, we have the three other configurations, the System Center VMM, Virtual Machine Manager, the sort of, I like to say, System Center data center manager. You can manage your whole data center in a single view, your storage, your servers, your virtual servers. You have the app controller to get all your clouds, private and public cloud, together in a single view. And you also have the orchestrator to do the configuration and to automate the tasks to your computers. And it doesn't matter if it's a virtual or a physical computer. So a single example, if you have a VMware farm, you have vCenter managing every VMware host that you've got. Using a Hyper-V with the System Center suite, for example, you can monitor your physical computer, your virtual machine, and application within the virtual machine. If you have, for example, to deploy a server, you have the System Center Configuration Manager, the bare metal deployment, the host computer, the virtual machine, and you can do everything from a single view, and you don't have to get different products from different partners. You have only one solution, and you know what? If you have VMware, if you have Citrix, you can also manage them using the VMM. So it's a single example that the whole suite together can provide for private management. And doesn't matter if it's a private or a public cloud management.
So that's what Leo told us, basically. Again, we are not going to speak in detail about Virtual Machine Manager. There are lots of good sessions about it, because we have really good demos, and we want to spend most of the time with our demos. But you know, we have to build you up for the demos. This is how it looks like. System Center Virtual Machine Manager. We spoke about 2008, and now 2012, which please go and attend a couple of sessions. You know, 2008 was really doing a good job, but with 2012 now, I can tell you there is close to 70% changes. Leo, do you mind highlighting very shortly the changes?
Yeah, 30% of the configuration that we have and the settings from 2008, we have on 2012. So we have a lot of new features, and as I said, I like to say, System Center Data Center Manager. You can manage your whole data center, not only the physical, the virtual computer, but the physical computer as well. You can create a template, a server template, a service template. As I said before, you can create a lot of virtual machines with just three or four clicks, and you can manage your storage. You can get some network configuration, and you can put all of them together, and you can also create a private cloud. So using VMM, you can manage that, and as I said, doesn't matter if you have VMware, Hyper-V, or
Citrix,
you can manage all of them together in a single view.
So, Virtual Machine Manager is also adding the management capability to your VMware environment. So you can, if it's the default VMware hard drive file extension, you can export the virtual machine from a VMware environment into a Hyper-V environment. It supports basically many different, of course, nearly all from Windows 2000 Service Pack 4 till Windows 8. It is supporting all Windows's storage servers, a couple of Linux SUSEs, Red Hat. So this is the guest operating system. But this is what you are probably here. Why Hyper-V? This is the main question. Why should you use Hyper-V? I want to switch to my laptop here. I got a This is a quick comparison between Server 2008 R2 and VMware or Microsoft versus VMware. This is Microsoft virtualization for the data center. Please look carefully here. You see not just the cost, also the supported applications, which is supported, which is not. As you can see, everything which is highlighted with yellow, like application updates, like IT service management, virtual machines lifecycle manager, and all others is not supported by VMware. Hey, look at this. We got fault tolerance, which is not supported by System Center as well, but you can use the Server 2008 or hopefully now 2012 highly availability features to do this. What else? This is the management solution versus the VMware again. As you can see, Microsoft solution has nearly, it's not just around 3 times cheaper. It's not just about the host versus physical. If you look carefully, it has many other access as well. What else do we got there? This is for small and mid-sized businesses. Not everybody is working in an enterprise. It's not just about now the management. It's not just about the licensing. It's also, it's also about licensing, the cost factor. And if you look carefully, you got the high availability of clustering, live migration, even with a simple System Center Essential Plus package.
Yeah, people normally say that people select Hyper-V because of the price. And as we can see here, it's not only the price. We have some features and we have some capabilities that can provide something else, not only the virtualization. And we have some demonstration later about Hyper-V 3. So we are focusing Windows Server 2008, but with some new improvements, I think that's going to be easier to adopt. If you have right now VMware or something else.
So I would like to highlight it again. Microsoft solution is not just about the physical, it's also about the virtual. So for both factors, okay? I think that's it with this. Oh no, this is from a couple of industry experts. To be honest, I went to Bing and I searched it. This is from, I think, ZDNet. I just added this morning and I said, what is in the industry? Of course, there are a couple of websites which shows not everybody's thinking this way, but to be honest, I do go to ZDNet a lot. This is from a case study, not because he lives in Canberra, which is the capital of Australia, not Sydney. Okay, this is from Microsoft website again. This is again from random. I found this, to be honest, they're not giving commissions, but I'm going to call this number, ask for money, because I'm doing now. Again, they do have the comprehension chart there. This is another college in Melbourne, Australia. So, do you mind switching to my other slides?
There you go.
This is Hyper-V versus VMware 5 in highlighted details. So, this is from that website. You will see the cost is a big factor, but not everything. What does this mean? Many people, and this was the session title. So from 2008 till 2009, the Hyper-V growth was a lot. I think it's time to talk demo. I know you saw enough slides. I want to do a couple of demos because we have a really good demo coming up now. But many people think that Hyper-V is only used with small businesses. But if you look in the screen, not just in Australia, like Target, for example. Yes, we do have a Target in Australia as well. Denizbank, Turkey, Rota Costa, Sweden, Intel, Colt, you know, all these companies already switched to Hyper-V. The market, as I said, you don't have to sit down and do extra training. Around 72% of the market is utilized by Windows. Yeah, 11% is unlicensed. What about you, sir? You're using license, right? Yeah? Good. Best-in-class performance.
This is the example for people that think that Hyper-V is not ready for large environments. So I heard that before as well. Yeah, Hyper-V is not good for large environments. So we have some examples here of products running very large environments, and we have some new examples with Windows Server 2012 as well, with very interesting results. We are not going to share that right now, but you will see that later with some other information of Windows Server 8. But yeah, just a couple of examples of Hyper-V with large environments.
By the way, did you start to learn a little bit Germanish, German, English, and Brazilianish?
Portuguese,
Portuguese, you know. That's the part is there.
No, I
done it on purpose.
Right?
They love it. Any other Brazilian or Spanish speaking, you know,
yeah,
they love
that.
They love that. I done it on purpose. Don't kick me for that. All right. Leo, can we switch quickly switch to demo. Let's show, again, everybody's using 2008 for a long time. Instead of going what you know, real quick demo to wake you up, instead of I turn on my music again. It is, I think, number 8.
Number 3.
Three, I switched in there.
So yeah, that's a very simple demo of Windows 2008 R2. If you are managing now Windows 2008 R2, would be interesting to make sure that your system health, everything's okay. And we have a new feature of Windows Server 2008 called Best Practice Analyzer. So you can make sure that everything's based on the Microsoft Best Practice. So you can make sure that you have all the configuration made by Microsoft. And you don't have even to double check everyone, every single one of them. So you can just, for example, run here. We did that before to save some time. You can double check here, for example, what is wrong, the warning, how to solve that, what do you have to do to improve that. For example, we've got a warning here for server core installations, a best practice to use the server core because we have less footprint, we have more performance, and we have more security as well. We don't have the help desk guys using Internet Explorer, for example, to do a lot of add-ons and weird things. They don't do that, yeah. But, you know, you can just double check here if everything's okay. We also have the new features, dynamic memory here, so every virtual machine, if you double check
on
memory.
Not that many anymore, but.
Yeah. We have here the dynamic settings, dynamic memory, so the virtual machine can, Hyper-V can borrow the memory from virtual machines from one to another virtual machine if you have a workload running there. And yeah, that's a very simple demo, very small demo, but we want to focus on Windows Server 8, so we have some new demos.
Creating virtual machines, everything. That's why I want to go quicker here.
Continue here, and then we can take some time with Windows Server 8.
And we're going to give you a script away, which you're going to love a lot. Everybody's going to get it, by the way, when I say giveaway. Building virtualization and familiarity. So what is Server 1000? What is the Microsoft virtualization platform? We go to profile virtualization. Again, keep an eye. Server 8 might bring many new stuff on it. We got Hyper-V. Yeah, we got virtual server. We have the application virtualization. We have the desktop virtualization. We have the presentation virtualization. Leo was showing a few minutes ago remote memory. We have also remote FX.
Dynamic memory and remote FX is a very good example for VDI environments. If you want to provide a real good environment and a sort of end user experience, you can use the VDI with remote FX. So you can have the Aero interface.
So Windows 7, basically.
You know,
the cool stuff.
Thing that users like, the icons and that glass effect. So you can have that using the Hyper-V remote FX. It's a good example using VDI.
Are you familiar with AppV? Yeah? Application virtualization. We have now also something called Server V. So basically, Server V, what is it doing quickly there again?
So yeah, basically, you have the AppV, it's a standalone application. We had a server for AppV, but this is a new feature of System Center Virtual Machine Manager. You can get your virtual applications and you can deploy them and server application as well as a feature of VMM. So you can manage all of them together using VMM and you can deploy the applications using a single packet. And you have that functionalities and benefits of AppV. You don't have to deploy the application. Basically, you just need to send the application, and you can run the application from the packet itself. So it's good. You don't have to worry about installation prereqs. You don't have to worry, for example, about updates. You just need to download the application to the client or the server, and you can run the application from it.
Again, you might have, two applications which they don't like each other. But you can install them and totally isolate them from each other in a different location. Is it time for demo, Leo?
Not yet.
Not yet? Oh, it's a good one. I'm excited to show it to you. Again, this is a bit marketing slide at the moment. That's the current market infrastructure. I'm going quick. Microsoft is catching up this wide scalability. You saw that email. At the moment, I think there is no competitor products. So I don't want to mention some other product's name. SQL, SharePoint, you know, these days are CRM. It's highly built in a virtualized environment. And as we all know, this resource, this software requires lots of resources. And it's really important to give the right performance and scalability, which Hyper-V is giving it. Also, we talked about the cloud, where applications require additional resources, where people want automated tasks. They don't want to deal with installation, with management anymore. So why adding System Center to the game, it will not just make it automatic, it will also adjust the capacity and capability. Remember we spoke quickly about System Center products? Licensing, we spoke about it. So many people come and ask Microsoft, hey, you know what? I want a cloud which is easy to scale up. I want a platform which I can run my applications on the web. I want something which I can manage with very less training. I don't have all this budget anymore. The economy is going down. I want to fully customize everything. How can we do that? I'm not going to talk licensing again. Let's start with our Hyper-V 3.0. And I think we're going to talk. We have maybe 5 or 10 minutes more talks. The rest is going to be demo, which I'm pretty sure you're going to love it. Please don't disappoint me. You know, Hyper-V 3.0. It's coming. We have the new PowerShell. PowerShell 3.0. I don't know if you remember the first PowerShell. We had around 200 commandlets. With 200, with the second one, we had a bit more. At the moment, with 3.0, we've got close to 3,000 commandlets, which you can manage nearly all Microsoft products, from Windows 8 or 7 or Vista to SharePoint. To, you know, it's a broad range. We got Hyper-V replica. We're gonna show it in the demo. We got resource monitoring or metering. What is if you build your own data center and you're lazy, like any other IT guy, right? You want to have an automated task. You're going to see how easy it is. We have the authorization migration. Leo, let's start with the demo.
Okay.
So Hyper-V made easy.
I'm going to show the demo, but I'm going to use PowerShell to do that, right?
PowerShell?
Oh. Yeah. As you said, PowerShell is everything that you can do using the GUI interface, you can also use PowerShell. And people, normally, they don't like PowerShell. As an IT pro, I prefer to use the GUI. So this demo is about showing to you how easy can be PowerShell and how helpful can be PowerShell for a daily task. For example, if you want to create some virtual machines, if you want to do some configuration, you can do that easier using PowerShell rather than using the GUI. So to help me here.
While he's doing that, there are many things which you can't do with GUI and which you require PowerShell these days as well. So PowerShell is getting a must. And if you're not good with PowerShell, PowerShell.com is a really good website. Highly recommend it.
Yeah. So let's start. For example, I know nothing of PowerShell and Hyper-V. So I just need to make sure which commands we have for PowerShell, for Hyper-V, sorry. So this is a command to get every command line for focusing Hyper-V. Get command, and you can see only the commands from the Hyper-V module. In this beta version, we have 162 commands only for Hyper-V. So everything, and something else, as Erdo said, that you don't have on the GUI interface, you can also have Hyper-V to do that for you.
And
so,
I don't know if you noticed, it's not anymore, you know, it's something easy to remember, like set VM BIOS, set stop VM, start VM. I don't know if you remember, sometimes, especially if you pipeline, it's really, really long commands. Look at this, so, it's easy to remember.
Yeah. For example, I want to get every virtual machine and I want to move the virtual machine to a new location. That's it, that's the command. Get VM and the pipeline, move VMs. So it's not that hard. And in this first example, you saw the commands like that we have on Hyper-V. And this other here is only to find, for example, I want to manage VHD. You can type get command VHD, but this one is a sort of search inside the Hyper-V module. So I want to find every command that you have VHD. I want to create a new virtual machine. So I want to move a virtual machine. So you can use these words.
A single virtual machine. Thinking of data center environment, you got hundreds, maybe thousands of virtual machines. This
and
one?
It's impossible to remember all these commands. So you can find the command that you are looking for, the option that you are looking for. And here, as Erdo said, you have easy names to remember. Get, merge, new, convert, and so on. So cool. Now, I've got the command that I was looking for, new VM. I want to create a new VM. But I want to see how it works, how to use the new VM command line. So in this example here, we are using the help. As you can see, we have some information. What is the option that you have to use? What is the settings that you have to provide? But I don't think that is very helpful. I don't know, for example, here, how to use the command. So I think that this is the most helpful command on Hyper-V and PowerShell, the dash example. So you can use help, the command that you are looking for, and dash example. So here's the deal that you can see examples of your command. But have a look in this problem on beta. If you run the command, you can't see the help. So you can't see the example, actually. PowerShell now enable the update. So
update.
You have the update. Yeah, sorry for the accent. So you have the update, and you can just type the command line, update help. That's it. You can download the new content from the Microsoft website, and you can have the new examples in there with a lot of very cool information and a lot of examples. All of them are online, and it's interesting because you can run this update, for example, once per month, and you can get some new information or new examples from the Microsoft website. So this is the example to use the update help. You can use update help dash module Hyper-V if you want to update only the Hyper-V module. Cool. Now, let's use a command, new VM. So Erdo, have a look in this command.
OK, look. In current Hyper-V, or in server beta, you can always double-click the Hyper-V icon, go to your Hyper-V manager, in the action pane, you can open the visit and start typing all this. But look at this. It's the same idea. When I ask you the steps, probably you will also do the same. New virtual machine, and you want to name it whatever you like. You want to have a startup RAM assigned with 512 megabytes. And you want to save it in the X location. In this case, it's Hyper-V C. Once you type enter, it and go to enter.
But that's the deal. You don't know these commands. As I said, it's difficult to remember that. That's why we use the example command with the help. You can see these from the example one. And I think that it's not good enough. For example, a lot of things in there, memory startup, byte, path. So now on this new version, we have some new method to use the commands, a sort of short method. If you have a look here in this next example, we have the same results. We have a new virtual machine, but with a small command. You don't have to use, for example, name. You can just type new VM and the VM name. So sometimes if you forget something, PowerShell can understand that and can keep processing. The memory is going to be the default one, and the path is going to be the default one as well. So you can use the previous command if you want to change the default settings. But that's not enough. I need something easier than that. So as you can see, we have a new virtual machine here, the same name. But have a look how easy it can be. Use new VM. That's it. You have a new VM with the default settings, and you don't have even to know what is the option and configuration. You can change that later. So that's an example of how easy PowerShell 3 is right now. And if you think that command line is not enough for you, so for example, man, I don't like that. I prefer to use the GUI. No worries. You have the show command now, and you can use a GUI interface to build your command. So have a look here.
Oh, cool. So it's in build.
Yeah. Need to find a command from Hyper-V. I know the command is new VM. You can use the find in there. Cool. That's it. So the command, I need to create a computer with 1 gig. You can use these short names now, gig, megabytes, and terabytes. And the name is going to be new VM. Oops.
Call it MMS VM, maybe something. Leo VM, something, you know. Leo.
01. And that's it. Run.
It's going to create it now? Yeah. Can you show it to me?
Done.
Ah, Leo 01. It's right up there.
So you have this show command, and you can use to find and to get the information that you have to put if you don't remember the settings or if you're lazy to use the help one. Cool. Now, as I said, it can be faster and can be easier than rather than the GUI. So that's the example. It's a very advanced one. It's a loop to create 10 virtual machines in a single command. So just press enter, and you have new VM from 1 to 10 in a very short command. So if you want to do that via GUI, yeah, it's up to you. But here, we can do that very, very quick. And yeah,
and as you can see, 10 virtual machines has been created straight away.
Right. Let's come back here. So now, one of the new features of Hyper-V that we don't have on VMware is the hard drive, the VHD format. We can have up to 64 terabytes of hard drive. The limitation of Hyper-V, the current version, and VMware is only 2 terabytes. And today, 2 terabytes is only the MP3 that I have for my kit at home. So now you can have a lot of data in a single VHD. You can also use the pass-through disk, but for a single VHD, that's a very nice limitation. And that's it, creating 1 new VHD using 60 terabytes. So as you can see, you don't have to put 60000. You can use these single names to create your virtual machine or your virtual hard drives. So cool. Now I want to add that virtual hard drive to my virtual machine using command line. Just using the
path. And you select the method as well, like pass through.
Just to show the results on the command line. So some of them, they just run and you can't see the results. So yeah, done. Just have a look here. We've got the virtual machine, call it MMS. Yep.
And this, you showed quickly.
You can.
Yeah, show it. And it's been beautiful. Is it just for Leo? You know, I noticed that this IDE. Please keep in mind, this is a laptop, okay? If you have a SCSI, it's been also supported. Or if you have also, we were talking about SAN, it's been also supported.
Fiber channels.
Yeah. In this example, you know, that's my little laptop here, and this is showing IDE, but this can be based on your environment.
Yeah, one of the new features is that you can add up to 4 fiber channel controller to a single virtual machine, not the host, but the virtual machine itself. This is the new virtual switch. So I'm just creating a virtual switch here very quickly called internal vSwitch. Done. And now, as you can see, I'm adding all of them to a single, switch to every virtual machine starting with MMS. So basically, add the virtual network adapter, the virtual machine name that you want to get, MMS star, and the virtual the nick that you want to add, right?
Okay. Nick, press enter. Let's go proof it.
One of them here, just double check. That's it. Test nick. So again, another example. How to do that via PowerShell rather than the GUI?
With the current version, we had to go one by one, assign it. It was a bit harder. Now, as you can see, we can just automate it with the script.
So can you see we've got the internal switch there? I want to add that to every virtual machine. So, cool. Connect vNetwork adapter, the computer, the virtual machine, all of them starting with MMS. and I want to add them to the suite name internal vSuite. Oh, I've got two internal vSuite, sorry. I didn't get the gods. I didn't pray for the gods demos.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble now.
Basically, just add the internal vSuite. I've got two of them, that's why it didn't work.
We can go and delete it and
that's
do
okay.
it again.
You can do that later. Another very interesting option is the quality of services for virtual machine. For example,
2S.
You have a 10 gig network adapter, sorry, and you have 10 virtual machines, but you have to make sure that one of them have to use 8 gig of 80 gig of not 80 gig, yeah, 80 gig of network bandwidth. So using this example here, I'm limiting the virtual machine to use only up to 100 megs. And the minimum have to be 20 megs. So if you want to do that via the GUI, you can just double click the virtual machine settings. You can open the network settings and you can set up here. So it's done. But I did that on every virtual machine on my host computer, starting with MMS. All of them together, so you don't have to do that everything again.
What is this doing? Oh, we're about moving hard drives as well?
So yeah, that's a very particular command to use the storage migration. So basically, it moves the virtual machine to another storage. Example, you have a new storage, and the first one is running out disk space, and you have to make sure that you can move the virtual machine to the new storage. You can do that on the fly. The virtual machine is going to be running, and you can just move to the new location with no downtime. So cool, but I'm not sure if the command is right. So I have to make sure that the command is going to work. So as you can see, there is at the end of the command, that is the what if. So this example that something that will not work.
So basically, it's going to open a sandbox environment. It's going to simulate it and give you the result. Instead of you doing it in a production environment, it said, oopsie, I'm in trouble. It is just creating you the simulation.
Yeah, that's a very good one. In this example, that I had to move the storage. That's a chain server, for example, or something very dangerous that I have to make sure that it's right. So using the what if, you can make sure, for example, here, that the virtual machine name is wrong. It's a triple M. So cool, I fix it. Now, using the what if again, I want to make sure that it's going to work now. And yeah, it's going to work. The virtual machine MMS demo is going to be migrated.
Yep.
Right? So let's run the command now.
And now we know it's safe to run the command, as the simulation environment didn't give us any error. Can you please quickly double check if it's there or not?
Yep. As you can see, I'm moving the virtual machine from C to D. The virtual machine wasn't online, just to save some time here. But on D partition, you have the new virtual machine, the disk, and everything in there. The virtual machine could be online, and you could have something running there, and that would work with no problems at all. Okay. So nice. Now let's explore more. I want to move every single virtual machine to the D drive, my new storage. So in this example here, we are creating a single folder for every virtual machine being moved. So it's a sort of loop again. Have a look in the get command to get your virtual machines and the pipeline using the move VM storage. So I'm getting the virtual machine names, and I'm creating a new new folder using the virtual machine name. Let's do it. So as you can see, every virtual machine is being moved. Done. Let's just double check. D drive, all of them is there with the configuration and the settings and the virtual hard drive if you have some.
Again, we can definitely run these virtual machines as well, but again, we have a limited RAM. Just an example how it runs.
Yeah, more examples here of dynamic memory. You saw the demo before on Windows 2008 R2. This is the example to set the minimum, maximum, and startup byte, but for every virtual machine, starting with MMS again. So maybe you have 100 of virtual machines that you have to do that, and you can do that using a single command line. And all these examples you can get from the help. As I said, just get help, the command line, and dash examples. You don't know what is the command, for example, set VM memory, just use the get help, a show command, and the command that you are looking for, sort of search. That's it. Let's just double check here, though.
Is it there?
One of them. Yep, memory. It's done. So I enabled, and I set up the minimum and maximum memory configuration. Done. So let's start the VMs, as you can see here again, using the pipeline.
Instead of going to the Hyper-V management panel and select all, right-click start.
Yeah, it's not that hard, right? Select all of them, right-click start.
But we can just
get all VMs, and starting with MMS again, and start a VM.
Do you mind, press enter. Can I just quickly switch here
sure.
See it live?
Oh, the other
one. Not this one. Oopsie.
Yeah.
And as you can see, it's started to run them. And probably it's going to stop now. We got RAM limitations. Yeah.
No, it's running.
Ah,
yep.
Four of them. Cool.
Cool. Now, one of the features that you saw is the resource metering. Let's say that you have a lot of virtual machines for every department, and you want to create a sort of report to show what is the resource that the virtual machine is using. For example, memory utilization, processor utilization, disk utilization, and network utilization. I want to make sure how many gigs or megs the virtual machine is using to access the internet, how many downloads and gig that virtual machine is downloaded from the internet, and I can create a sort of report and I can give to
the customer or the
for private clouds, for example, if you have a whole system and you will have a lot of different clients, you can enable the resource metering. And that's an example of something that you have only via PowerShell. You don't have a GUI interface to that. But you will see later, there's some examples on Microsoft website to extract reports, some very cool reports using HTML and web interface to see that. So it's not because it's PowerShell that you have a poor report or a poor functionality. So here, enabling all of them, done. And now we have the virtual machine being running for a couple of seconds, but we can measure the VMs right now. So I want to get every MMS virtual machine. I want to see the resource utilization. So yeah, we don't have difference here between them because the virtual machine is running for 1 month, a couple of seconds, but you could see there every virtual machine and the resource utilization per virtual machine. You can add something else. For example, I want to see there at the end, internal network, my DMZ access, and the external network. So you could see the external, the internet access per virtual machine in meg, gig, whatever you want. And yeah, that's a good example to create some reports of what every virtual machine is using. So yeah, that's the end of this demo here.
Before we switch, I'm going to make this, probably we're going to make it this script available for you, all right? Where is it stored in C drive?
Oh, the script?
Yeah.
Yeah, C drive MMS demo, MMS 2012.
MMS 2012.
Not
this one.
The other one. Yeah, that's a very nice example.
Here, this is the demo that we run. All the steps was pre-configured there. So if you're not good with PowerShell, and you have to do it all the time, with previous PowerShell, what I was doing is, to be honest, I had a text sheet with most comments that I'm using. I used to copy, paste, and edit. But now, as you can see here, I can just put the PowerShell ready for me, load the script, and press enter. We didn't have to type it. We done it, of course, not because we don't know how to type it. Yeah, our writing is not bad as our accent. But this is making the life easier as well. You will understand me, right? So when it comes to accents.
Yeah, so basically we've got all commands here in this demo file, and we use the command called start demo to run the commands for you for us. So that's a very nice example that you opened here, Erdo. If
that's
you like to do some advanced PowerShell scripting, you can use this new partial ISE, this new version.
Actually,
example,
it's not brand new. We had it inside the software development kit as well. So if you had the software development kit, you could just install it. But now it's been pre-built, right?
Yeah, that's right. Let me show you a very quick example. For example, here, new VM. Can you see it's something like Visual Studio?
Not exactly like.
Yeah.
So, it disappeared.
So
the programmer.
Dash, I don't remember. Dash, yeah, right. Dash name, that's it. So name, the virtual machine name. And dash, what else can I do? So yeah, VHD path, memory startup byte. So you can use this GUI interface to create your advanced PowerShell, and you have sort of browsing here to find every command.
So more well. Options to get lazy. Anyway, this is PowerShell.
Yeah.
We are not just doing PowerShell here. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Let's switch to quickly what we've done to recap. As you can see, Hyper-V added, I believe, a couple of cool stuff to make our life easier. Now we're going to have more time to play solitaire. This is another example, the Hyper-V versus VMware 5. The most important thing, please look at the bottom one, bottom two, VMs per cluster node and maximum guest virtual disk size.
Maximum nodes per cluster as well. Now we support up to 64 nodes per cluster. The limitation right now in 2008 is 16. Now we can get up to 64 nodes. So we know that 2008 has some limitations right now that comparing with the new version Hyper-V of VMware is not that good. But now with the Hyper-V 3, they will be almost the same. And some of them is going to be better, as you can see here. So a lot of processor, as you can see, memory is better as well. The memory for per virtual machine is a double as well.
OK, to recap again, we get the SRV. What was this again, Neil?
Yeah, basically, you can add a network adapter directly to the virtual machine. We don't have that right now. But on this new version, you can get your network adapter, and you don't have to pass through a virtual switch. It's a sort of pass-through network adapter. Right, you had that on VMware, right? But have a look in the director assignment on VMware. You have a lot of limitation if you do that. For example, you can't use the vMotion on VMware if you have that. You can't stop and or save the virtual machine. But we do have that on Hyper-V. You have a directory assigned virtual network adapter, but you can live migrate the virtual machine to another computer. That's made by the configurations on SRIOV. So that's a very nice feature. I can show to you how to do that. It's a very simple checkbox. We can show that later. So you just need to click on a checkbox, and that's it, done.
We have the network virtualization. Again, you saw it in the demo, how we can create just virtual switches, how we can assign them to adapters.
Yeah, and this one, you can have, for example, two computers with the same IP address running on the same host, but isolated, using the same switch as well.
So
you have, basically a lot of computers running at the same host with the same IP address, but different clients. But the clients are using the same subnet ID. Doesn't matter. You can create a network virtualization, and you can virtualize your whole network. And better than that, if you move to another location, you can also move the network virtualization. So if you move your virtual machine to another host, you can take these configurations to this host.
And we have the Hyper-V replica. Again, it will replicate the primary host with the to the replica locations with the VM.
Yep.
We had a quick, we can, for this, all what you have to do is basically set up the replica station and it will just pass it through, as you can see.
Guys, just remember, all these features that we are showing here, all of them are also available in the Hyper-V server, the free version of Hyper-V. So you don't have to pay them, right? It's for free. You just need to pay the license if you are going to use the free version of Hyper-V. But everything that I showed to you right now, Hyper-V replica, storage migration, the high availability, everything you can also have on Hyper-V server that is available to download the beta version.
So it's getting the applications, the systems. It has the resource replacement in the cloud.
So yeah.
Yep.
If you have a cluster with 20 virtual computers. That cluster is down. So you have to start the virtual machine again in the other cluster, right? So you have, let's say, domain controllers, exchange server, and SharePoint. I have to make sure that the domain controller is going to start up first, then the exchange servers, and then the other servers. You can set up the prioritization, and you can say high, medium, and low. And if the server is offline, and you can...
It happened to me. A customer called us once when I was doing consulting. We went there. The smart network administrator did install virtualization product. Was perfect. He had an AD, which was in a VM, and he had Exchange on the host. Guess what? Every update, he restart the computer. Because the Exchange is starting before the AD, it was causing issues. So if they were using back this technology, this was not going to be a big problem like that.
That's right.
Because when I went there, I had to basically remove the Exchange to another virtual machine, put in a host. So this is making life much easier. It is cluster-aware. It will eliminate the repetitive maintenance tasks. So it's going to be simple to manage the updates. As we're all aware, the Tuesday patch Tuesday is going to be less problem because we're going to use the orchestra updates.
That's very boring to update a cluster. Have you tried, guys, to update clusters? It's very... It's not easy. You have to do some manual configuration. And this on the box with no advanced tools, no, you don't have to buy anything. You can just select the cluster that you want to update, select the update, done. The system can automatically update, move the virtual machine or whatever you have in there to another node, turn off the node, bring it back, move it back, and do everything automatically.
So as I explained, the workflow has five steps, and this will make, hopefully, our life easier. And if you have replica, it will replicate it across as well. We are monitoring. We saw how we can do it via the PowerShell. You saw how we can have the application level recovery. We can also have the guest level, host level, highly available features. We can keep an eye on it. We can all create it via Hyper-V 3.0. And if you're going to buy also as additional the system center products, this will also make the job much easier. We are just about to run out of time. Leo is writing a beautiful book. I'm going to recommend you this one, not because I'm looking at it. Keep in mind, the ISPN is there. He has a blog which we write together with a couple of other authors. Leo, don't forget to pay me 2% loyalty fee.
You do.
All right. I believe it's going to be a good book, not because I saw a couple of chapters already. It's going to be hopefully second part of the year. Ready? That's our blogs, bettertogether.org.au. I don't know if you know Oren Thomas, a Microsoft Press author, Leo, myself, and we got a couple of other MCTs, MVPs blogging. That's my personal blog, eurodoscale.com. YourMCT.com is another blog which has a couple of MCTs blogging there. Highly recommended for you to keep an eye of. My email address is there. If you want to reach Leo, please contact me. I'm more than happy to forward the mail to him. If you want to follow us on Twitter, the slide deck has Leo's one as well in the previous slide. I hope you enjoyed the session. Just before you go, if you are a VMware professional, there is a beautiful free course available for you from Microsoft Virtual Academy. If you just type microsoftvirtualacademy.com, not just this, there are many other free resources available. This is a CBT, computer-based training, a 12 chapter with Corey Hines and a few other people on it. Again, please watch it. It shows you one by one Hyper-V versus VMware, and it's free. Microsoftvirtualacademy.com, log in, totally for free, and you have lots of things, SQL, programming, Server 8, System Center, Windows 10 deployment. Yeah, look, we would like you come for us for training, for Fastlane where I'm working, but this is free. And as I know, we don't have enough budget. Never, the companies have never enough budget. This is maybe a good solution for you as well. So, accept our accent. I hope you like the presentation. Well, we did try to, you know, we had only 75 minutes time, and it's such a broad subject. We did try to highlight the differences. I hope you can compare it now better. Of course, there's always different opinions. If you have questions that you want to ask, we did run out of time, 3 more minutes. But please come while we pack up. I'm more than happy to take your we are more than happy to take your questions. If you're happy, please go and, even if you're not happy, all right, please go and fill up the evaluation. Don't forget, I'm also doing hacking, so I will catch you. No, just kidding. thank you very much for joining, and enjoy the MMS. Thank you very much.
Thank you.